and that we would indeed find ourselves in that place of encouragement where we are drawn close to you. And we ask, Lord God, that as we gather around your word, that's the very thing that you would do for us. Draw us close by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we continue looking at the talks in Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, we're looking at two very different servants. And it's where this section would actually seem a bit out of place, you know, in terms of the things that he's already said within the letter. Previously, Paul has been sharing about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glory of heaven to take on the form of a servant, to become obedient to death on the cross for all of us. But now Paul seems to turn to some things that would seem mundane matters. He's talking about sending Timothy and Epaphroditus to the Philippian church, and also about his hope of coming to see them personally if he's released from prison. And at first glance, you may wonder why God took up pages of the Bible, you know, to tell us about travel plans for these three men. Because, you know, on the surface, that's all that it looks like. But there are two men that Paul commends are worth imitating as we seek to serve. The Holy Spirit uses these men as illustrations to the truth that Paul has been teaching. I'm sure we're all aware that one of the most helpful ways to get an illustration across is to use people that are known to you, people that you can identify with, people you can understand, because then hopefully after hearing about them, you're encouraged to think, you know what, I could do that. And it's the very thing that Paul was trying to do, letting them see by the example of these two guys that he starts to speak about, to get the church to say, you know what, I could do that, and to get them into that place. So as we come to the scripture with Paul speaking about Timothy and Epaphroditus, we see two very different servants. So it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. But everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him. So that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. So here we find, just in these few short verses, Paul's explaining a bit about the personality, about the people that are there helping him, supporting him at this time. Now, we already know how Paul felt about the church in Philippi. He certainly admired their service for God. So here we have two men that Paul, you know, dearly loved. And it's interesting to read what he had to say about these particular brothers. So with Paul knowing that he couldn't visit the church, he then writes to them about his plans for the next best thing. Send reliable people to get the latest update and find out how is everybody doing. So with Paul's description of Timothy and Epaphroditus, we see two very different people, two very different servants. And that actually ties in nicely with a description that the Apostle Peter describes in his letter. He gives instruction to God's people about how to serve together faithfully. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. But it says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter's instruction is that each genuine believer in the church has been gifted by the Holy Spirit in a particular role for the good of all. So there's nothing selfish about it. It's for the good of all, something that's to be imparted. So by God's design, we each have a purpose in God's church family. And you know, that's what makes it important to ensure that we seek God's help in faithfully doing our part. When you pay close attention to what Peter says, you'll see there's actually a distinction in the roles that he mentions. And he divides them into two basic categories. They are what you might call a preaching and teaching ministry, when he said if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So this would refer to people that God gives to the church to serve as preachers, pastors, teachers, counsellors. They serve the church by teaching what God's word says and by helping us to apply its instruction accurately to our lives. Then there are also what we might call the hands-on ministries. When Peter says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. And this is the kind of nuts and bolts at the activities of the church family. The people who serve and prepare food and drinks, they provide administration to keep things flowing, or they provide care for those in need, or they just know how to get a ladder and some tools and fix something. It can be very practical. And this simply helps us to understand where we fit best within these two basic categories. So there's no need for anyone to feel that they just don't know where they fit in ministry or service, you know, within God's church, when you start to break it down into these two areas. Timothy was a preaching and teaching servant to God's people. His name itself means honouring God, and he was a man who greatly honoured God through his pastoral and his teaching ministry. I wonder if you knew that Timothy's name is on six of Paul's New Testament letters, and he's listed as a co-author with him. So he was obviously very influential in all the letters that were going out from them as well. Then there are two letters in which Paul writes detailed instructions to Timothy in his pastoral ministry. And the basic theme for these letters is preach the word. Follow through in the ministry that God has placed on you. Preach the word. Which is exactly what Timothy did. There are a few times in the New Testament where Paul says that he couldn't go to a particular church. He was held back for some reason, or he may have been in prison again. But he was going to send Timothy in his place. So the evidence of Timothy's ministry and serving was very clear. He was trustworthy, and he was reliable to continue the work that Paul began. But you see, Timothy wasn't a man for the hands-on ministry. And you know what? That's okay, because we're not all called to the same thing. And I'm sure we can identify with that. Not everyone is called to teach or preach the word. So if we don't see ourselves represented in Timothy's, you know, type of ministry, although we may be in a place to truly appreciate all that he did, but that's not the kind of serving that you would feel comfortable with. Do you see yourself then more comfortable in a behind-the-scenes ministry rather than up front? Someone who would be happier getting your hands dirty, you know, serving, making things happen. If that's the case, then Epaphroditus is your man for an example. He was very different from Timothy, with a very different kind of ministry. His name itself doesn't sound very manly because it means lovely. But he was definitely a man who knew how to translate the love of God into action. The only other place where he's clearly mentioned is also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. It's where Paul expresses his gratitude for the gift that was sent to him via Epaphroditus. You know, the Philippians worked hard to raise a cash donation to support Paul and to help him during his imprisonment. Remember, when you're in prison, you had to supply all your own needs. The state didn't bring that. You had to have family there, you had to have somebody there who was bringing us. So the church in Philippi sent this gift of money to help Paul support himself while he was in prison. You know, we don't get all the detail of what it was required of Epaphroditus to deliver this. You know, you just think of somebody, you know, here's the cash, go and take that to Paul. He's in prison, go and take it to the house. He needs this to take care of his needs. But the journey this man had to take to get there, you know, there's a few different places they reckon Paul was in prison. But let's take, for example, if it was Rome. It was a difficult and a dangerous journey, probably several hundreds of miles. And if it was Rome, then he had to consider this. The first part of the journey was to walk around 367 miles. Yeah, walk 367 miles. Then he had to cross the sea by ship, with the reckon about another 360 miles to walk. The journey would take around 2 months, and he would only rest on the Sabbath. Other than that, this whole journey just was his continual mission. That's what he was all about. And if the trip was made during winter, Epaphroditus may have caught pneumonia. He could have caught food poisoning from one of the inns that he had to stop at on the way there. We just don't know the essence of all that. But it may explain why he ended up next to death's door, why he was so sick, when you think about the journey that the man had to make. So anyway, you have two streams of ministry. Sometimes out of necessity, it requires that we work outside our comfort zone now and again. I'm happy to change bulbs. I'm happy to put chairs out. You know, also preach and teach. I'm happy to do that most weeks. You know, so there are things where you can turn your hand to do other things. It may not be your ministry, but you can turn your hand to do other things. But generally speaking, if you're wired by God to do the teaching ministry type, then the worst thing for you to do is to try and function regularly within the church trying to do the hands-on type of ministry. I'll give you another example. As you know, Big Hugh done all the doors, built all the windies, done all that. The reason we did that was because he knew I was rubbish at it. We'd still be building 10 years down the road. So each person to their own ministry and the skill that God has given them. I'm sure none of us want to be miserable doing something that you were not designed by God to do. So the way for us to experience joy in church life is knowing what you're best suited for in ministry and doing it diligently with all your heart. Another reason that this particular scripture is helpful to us this morning, it shows even with the differences between Timothy and Epaphroditus, there are certain character qualities that they had in common, making them both truly valuable and effective servants to God's people, even with the totally different roles that they had. So no matter what role any of us chooses to serve in, there are certain qualities that we should see. Having a genuine compassion for the people of God, having a genuine compassion for people is essential. When we have that, serving others is not a chore. It's not difficult. You know, it's something that it won't be a burden, it won't be an inconvenience, because there's a joy in serving, because you're in the right place, you're, you know, comfortable enough, confident enough, that you're quite happy to do that. So when Paul spoke with Timothy and he said, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, it doesn't mean that Paul was saying that everyone else was a phony when he says, I have no one else like him. This was an expression to show the kind of devotion that he wanted everyone to have. Serving the people of God was a priority, and displaying a genuine concern for the needs of others under his care. And of course, the same was true of Epaphroditus, except that his compassion was shown in a different way. He made this long journey to support Paul, and it was a remarkable expression of love, of support, and of compassion. You know, the distance that he covered equals walking. For any of you who have done the West Highland Way, it's equal to walking that over 7 times. So it's quite a distance. So after becoming gravely ill, you know, for Epaphroditus, news of his condition actually reached back to his home church in Philippi. And they're all quite distressed when they heard this news, distressed about this condition of their brother in Christ. And it's interesting because Epaphroditus, we find out through this, wasn't concerned for himself. By the way, would it not be easier if his name was Tim instead of me having to say Epaphroditus all the time? He wasn't concerned for himself. He was more concerned about his fellow believers back home. He clearly had a great deal of affection for them. And the motivation for both men in their ministry was a genuine compassion for people, for the people that they served. So the ministry itself isn't so important, it's the motive behind it. And that's what makes ministry enjoyable. Love the people you're serving, even when they're ungrateful. You know, sometimes, maybe it's just me, have you ever come across anybody that's ungrateful for the help you've given them? Yeah? And God says, still love them. Still serve them. Still support them. And it's tough. It's a tough call. The next thing is that they had a sacrificial commitment to the cause of the gospel. You know, it wasn't just serving for the sake of it. That's not what's going on here. These men served with a specific purpose in mind. And that's the advancement of the gospel of Christ, sharing the good news, living it by example, people seeing there's something different about them. I want some of that. You know that not everyone is called to the ministry to be an evangelist, but all of us are capable of serving in some manner that either supports or frees up others to be more upfront, more people who can be out there with the gospel. So it then allows any of us, no matter how shy, introvert, or insecure, to be able to contribute to sharing the gospel. Yeah, it might be indirect, you know, it's not out there, but it's still a commitment to spread the gospel. Timothy was your upfront preacher and teacher, whilst Epaphroditus was your behind-the-scenes supporter. Both called to serve, but in totally different ways. Do you ever wonder about yourself in ministry? Perhaps you felt that your role is less important, you know, than somebody else's. And I suppose the world's way of thinking doesn't help, because it tends to elevate people who are up front. If somebody falls flat on their face and it gets captured on the camera on television, they're a celebrity next day. You know, it gets like that. Their profile's raised up, therefore they must be important. Then they start to get a show of their own. You know, I'm no kidding, it's as bad as that. But when that kind of mentality captures the church, there's a danger where we start to elevate people when we're all in ministry. And that's what it's about, just ministry. It doesn't matter whether you're up here, sitting down there, through there. It's about serving. And it's trying to capture the heart of what Paul is really in here, through the example of these two men. You know, you do realise that the role of a pastor would not function without the support of others in ministry. As I mentioned perfect example is not knowing how to work a mic. Needing somebody to come up and tell you, switch it on. It can be as simple as that. We need other people to help us function. And there are many different ways that that happens. You know, it's just as well that I don't lead the meal ministry or organise it. You'd go hungry. I might write the information for a newsletter, but without the admin support, you'd never see it. The same applies to putting the message or any other information on our website. It takes the skill of others who know what they're doing. The presentation that you see for our worship, nothing to do with me. Absolutely, isn't that right, Craig? It's absolutely nothing to do with me. I put suggestions out here and things like that, and other people make it happen. It's wonderful, you know. And then when you put it up here, people think, oh, he's done a grand job. No, he hasn't. So you understand it takes a team. It takes everybody serving to make the church function, to make it happen. I'd actually been thinking that if it was up to me in terms of the words so that you could read the songs, we'd still be using an overhead projector and acetates, you know. yeah, I'm a dinosaur. Even to enjoy fellowship with tea and coffee takes an organiser. Guess what? It's no me. I'm sure you get my drift. Serving in a particular type of ministry is not the essential ingredient. You know, it's simply serving with the care and compassion of Christ in us. That's what changes it. That's what makes all the difference. That's what's required. You know, Paul had made a statement in his letter to the Colossians, the Colossian church, which sums it up. Colossians 3, verse 23, he says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." So he defines it in that place. You know what? We're doing this for God. That's where the joy comes in. Yeah, at times it'll be monotonous. At times it'll be boring. At times people may not seem very grateful. But still, it's that reminder of who is it I'm serving. I've read about a church that's in Santa Fe in New Mexico. And they have only one door that goes into the sanctuary. And over that door they have a handwritten sign that reads, "Servants' Entrance." There isn't any way in or out of that church other than through the servants' entrance. And it's quite an interesting concept that everybody who goes in is a servant. Nobody's higher than the other. Nobody gets put in a pedestal. Nobody gets special privileges. We're all servants. Now, we've got too many doors in here because you could slip in and out the other door without me noticing. But you can see the effect of having one door. Everybody is serving. And out of that, it doesn't matter what your role or what your function is within that. So let me just finish by saying, whatever our ministry to the body of Christ may be, whether we're like Timothy or Epaphroditus, may these qualities be served with genuine compassion for people. And that through that, have a commitment to Christ that reveals him through us, that God would receive the glory. We're going to watch this next song. The words speak for itself. It's called the Servant Song. Thank you.
Brother, let
You know, we have the greatest example of a servant in Christ. And the danger is often we can look at people and try and learn from them. Yeah, if they have a good example, then by all means do that. But the example for all of us at the end of the day is Christ, that we would serve one another as he served us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we continue in closing worship.
Father, we adore you. Lay our lives before you.